More Business Briefing right now on FM News 101.
Okay, we're back at 4:35, continuing our conversation with Patrick Stone, President and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. Pat, in studio with us here this afternoon, and thanks for joining us, Pat. Welcome back. You know, there was a time when those Case-Shiller numbers came out that realtors just, you know, would wince in pain. And, you know, they come out here, what, about a week ago, and January numbers up 8.1% over the previous year. That's the biggest gain in over 6 years. Do you expect this to continue, or will it taper off, and why?
Well, you know, one thing I want to say before we get into that is that the numbers you see reported are high-level numbers. Case-Shiller typically reports 20 major metropolitan areas. And if you really break it down nationally, the recovery is intermittent, it's mixed, but by and large, it is very hopeful. And if you look at Oregon in particular, we have a very, especially the Portland metropolitan area, we have a very controlled land use law, very controlling land use laws here, very difficult to get new construction up quickly. And so consequently, we used up available inventory. Investors have come in and bought a lot of REO and distressed properties. Banks have become more efficient about doing short sales. So I think people were surprised to how quickly we went into a decreased amount of properties and available properties on the market. So prices went up very rapidly. I think prices will continue to appreciate. My personal opinion is that they will run 5 to 8% for the next couple of years. Until you see a major supply of dwelling units hit the marketplace in the form of new construction. And I do think that's a couple of years out. So I'm really optimistic about Portland. I'm optimistic about Seattle. Some of the Sand States have recovered nicely, mainly because distressed properties being bought up by people like Blackstone, Carrington Capital, and different investors. Interestingly enough, right now, about 16% of all single-family homes in the country are rented out. They are actually functioning as rentals. So you've seen what was a tremendous overhang of distressed property being accumulated or being used up fairly quickly. And I think banks have also become much more sophisticated about disposing of distressed property through short sales and working with realtors and homeowners to facilitate short sales. So the market's getting healthier. I still think that the demand will outweigh the supply for the next couple of years, especially in the Portland market, and I do think you'll continue to see price appreciation.
In the You Called It department, we talked about this, I think, a couple of years ago when there was so much concern about shadow inventory, and you debunked that one. Obviously, that's come true. You touched on development, single family, very difficult to find even buildable land in the Portland metro area or to get a loan. I'm hearing that that's starting to ease up a little bit. Give us the facts. I mean, is that the case?
Well, yeah.
I mean, are we seeing that?
Yeah, and it will continue to ease up, and you will continue to see home building accelerate. I think the starts were, about 980,000 at year end. So I think the first quarter. So I think on an annualized basis, so I think home building will continue to accelerate. Household formation will run ahead of home building for the next couple of years. So you will continue to use up inventory probably through 2016 before home building catches up with household formation. Most reputable prognosticators nationwide think that household formation will run somewhere between 1.2 to 1.3 million a year from now to the end of the decade. So it's going to get real interesting, especially with rational immigration reform. You will see household formation be strong. So I do think things are back in a positive mode for quite a while for residential real estate.
What's going on, before I jump to our next question here, regarding the apartment bubble? And I want to get your take on that, but I don't want to move on too quickly because the market seems very healthy from the people I talk to. Sounds like business is going very well in the Portland market. Things haven't tapered off like I think some people thought they might this year.
Well, I think the market is good, but keep it in perspective. We're talking about 5 million units as opposed to selling 6 million resales. I mean, that sales. So even though the market is good on a historical basis, it's still somewhat depressed. And that is to a large degree a function of the underwriting standards. I think the average FICO score on an approved loan last month was 745. The average FICO score on a disapproved loan was 705. That is higher than the average FICO used to be on an approved loan. So underwriting standards are still historically fairly restrictive. You still have an economy that's recovering. You still have consumers that are trying to save money for down payments and for, you know, trying to get on their feet. So the market's getting better. The market can get a lot better.
That's good to hear. Patrick Stone, President and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, joining us. And Pat, I saw something very interesting that Fannie Mae had recorded, what, $12.3 billion in profits and actually returned a dividend to U.S. Treasury. A couple of years ago, they were the poster child for the housing crisis. And here we are just, what, four short years later, and they're back and back pretty big time.
Yeah, you know, this is a real interesting situation, because what's really happened with Fannie Mae is they're paying a 10% on a preferred stock that they were given to bail them out as a part of going into receivership. So it would be really nice if Fannie Mae was allowed to keep that capital, or, you know, to use that capital. But they were almost bailed out. They were actually bailed out with the most restrictive terms of any bailout during the economic crisis. General Motors, AIG, all got better deals than Fannie Mae got. So I wonder a little bit long-term about how we are going at this. There's a great deal of political interest in getting the government out of financing residential real estate, going more to a Ginnie Mae model where the government provides a backstop in a crisis but isn't actively involved in the securitization market day-to-day. So I do believe over time you'll see Fannie and Freddie morph into something else that's a little bit more private, maybe be broken up. I sincerely hope that's not done too quickly until the market is stronger and until we see a privatized secondary market that makes sense and has the underpinnings necessary to operate in an efficient manner.
Pat Stone joining us here on Business Briefing. Let's talk about securitization real quick, too, because that market is coming back slowly. I mean, I think I saw J.P. Morgan with some MBS that they were offering. Where are we in that process, and how realistic is it to think that can ramp up quickly? It can't, can it?
Well, interestingly enough, the commercial mortgage-backed security market has recovered, and the jumbo market has recovered. Nothing else.
Yeah.
So there's still some people waiting to see what CFPB rules are finalized, what the regulations are going to be, what the final definition is on QRM. We have a definition now for QM, qualified mortgages, but QRM, qualified residential mortgages, which will stipulate how much the bank has to retain of any mortgage sold. That rule will have to be promulgated and finalized before you see any securitization market for residential.
Okay, let's shift gears and talk multifamily. One of the most prolific commercial developers in our city, our fine city, Joe Weston, is calling an apartment bubble. Do you agree with that?
I've known Joe for years and think the world of him. He's a very, very, very smart man. I think what he's trying to say is that a lot of money moved into the multifamily market very, very quickly because there was essentially no construction of any kind, either single family or multifamily, for quite a while. A lot of demand. It got built up as people moved money in to solve that demand or satisfy that demand very quickly. If you look at REIT stocks, one aspect of REIT stocks that didn't move at all last year in terms of appreciation was apartments, and they had moved dramatically for the preceding 4 or 5 years. So I think smart money is saying that the multifamily market is built out right now. Is it a bubble? I don't know. You know, we'll see that with time. Occupancy has vacancy rates have come down among multifamily. It may be close to an equilibrium. It may be overbuilt. I don't know.
Well, we've gone for so long in this market without building anything new, and now we have a lot of new inventory come on the market. I guess it would be cause for some concern.
Well, and I think and I haven't talked to Joe Weston about it, but my gut is that one of the concerns here is that how much of the rental market is being satisfied by single-family homes being bought by investors and rented out. So it's hard to really get a handle on available living units that are for rent.
Okay. Well, Pat, real quick, 15 seconds. Any concern about all the government tenants moving out of downtown Portland?
A little bit, yeah. We have the biggest part of our economy in this state is durable good manufacturers for electronic products. Mm-hmm. We are not a huge financial center. Government is being cut back, and healthcare hasn't grown tremendously here in the last couple in the last couple of years. So hopefully, I think we can anticipate some growth in healthcare because of Obamacare, but I don't think government employment's going to go up anytime soon, and I don't think we're going to have a big surge in financial employment. So consequently, I think filling up downtown's going to take a little work.
Good stuff, as always, Pat. It's good to see you in person.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. When we come back, we'll put a wrap on this hour and preview the next on Business Briefing.